Hello, everybody, and welcome back to I've Got a Bad Feeling About This, everybody's favorite podcast about Star Wars that takes a sudden, unannounced 5-month hiatus, spurred off by one of its hosts losing an audio file and losing any motivation to continue. I'm that host, Bennett Buckles, joined today by Charles Hammaker. Say
Yes,
hello.
sir.
Thank you. We stopped in the middle of our watch through of The Bad Batch, which was on, I guess, in August.
Jeez.
And that show ended September-ish, I think, or maybe the end of August. I don't remember. It was a really long time ago. And I guess this kind of counts as our series recap. Let's make one thing clear. We both watched the show as it happened. We have not touched it since. I don't think I've rewatched a scene from the show since, which is funny because I've rewatched scenes from pretty much every piece of Star Wars media since I finished that show. But yeah, it just wasn't a good series, I don't think. And I kind of feel bad saying that. If I had to give an overall grade, I think I'd give it like a 6 out of 10. A generous 6 out of 10. I could easily give it a 5.5. Chuck, I know this is kind of on the spot, but do you want to give it a rating?
No, yeah. I think I'd be no, I think that's a good number, honestly. I mean, I don't know. I think you wanted me to just stick to number for right now.
Sure, you can do
So
that.
I'll stick with number. Let's go. I'm gonna get really specific and go 6.25.
Okay, I can feel that.
Just like a slight nubbin of a higher up, but yeah, just really not too memorable.
It was
At least
just,
not the first season, air
yeah.
quotes.
It set up some cool things with that finale, and we never got to talk about it because what we saw basically the mountain that Thrawn controls, so that could be something. That leads to the heir to the Empire story, the big cloning facility. But honestly, I don't think our listeners who probably watch the show miss anything by us not dissecting the end of that series. There wasn't a lot there, if I'm honest. And let's be real, the whole show was kind of a Ralph Boner situation. It a whole lot of build up. With, I'd say, minimal payoff. I don't think we got anything from the show that we w didn't have beforehand, except for the existence of Omega. Nothing was confirmed about Omega's variability. We never got a confirmation she could use the Force. We never got a confirmation that she has any special abilities that these other clone troopers don't have. Basically, all we got was that she is technically older than them, I guess. And that Crosshair, the big twist was Crosshair didn't have a chip. He was just acting off of his own impulse. Take that as you will, I guess. I mean, whatever. Nothing else really happened is the issue. We had a Ryloth arc, that was cool. What's her name? Hera came back. And then they ended up back on Kamino. And that was the show. I mean, nothing else really happened.
The way that I remember it, that we're talking about it, just reminds me of like when I did my rewatch of the Clone Wars, and there were just those middle seasons where it's just like, oh, we're just treading water, it feels like. Just seemed like treading water. I know, it was cool to have some of these characters, and there were like bits and pieces that were, memorable. But, there's, when we look at like the Mandalorian, there's stuff like that that I remember. There's stuff that when I look towards the next season, I'm excited for that. Obviously, we have to wait a decent amount now still. Do we have confirmation on time for that, Bennett?
No, I
Oh,
think the
great.
speculation is still holiday 23 or
Oh,
22, sorry,
Jesus.
22.
God, man. But with Bad Batch, it's kind of like, oh yeah, hey, that happened. There's another season, right? I think, you know, it's like, yeah. It's just not something that, not material that the fan base is like, still has stuff to do with. So wants to analyze, so wants to dissect. Now it's like, okay, this happened, and it just kind of fell on his face.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because this is a Filoni product. This is a Filoni-led product. This is the thing he was basically working on in the interim of seasons 1 and 2 of The Mandalorian. So, you know, does it, and this is just going to be kind of a free question because I don't know, but does it change the excitement levels for something like Ahsoka that is also Dave Filoni-led, that is also his creative basically baby? Like, this is the thing that he is focusing on rather than The Mandalorian right now, and he'll hop back on that team once production for Ahsoka is over, ostensibly. But for me, you know, Filoni was amazing in Clone Wars, of course, and Rebels and Resistance were pretty okay too. I'd hesitate to put them on the same level as each other and on the same level as Clone Wars, but they were series to themselves. But The Bad Batch was just so bad, in my opinion. It wasn't anything. It just wasn't anything. And, you know, you look at how you construct a series, you give us a core of characters that we care about, and I think he nailed that. You give us a compelling storyline and issue, and that is, you know, navigating a post-Order 66 world. Awesome, especially as clones. But then you just give us the same story like 4 different times. In a limited series, you get like Omega running around and the Bad Batch trying to stop her, or trying to stop whatever from going on that would hurt her. Kind of gets old after the second repetition, and you end up getting stuck with this plot that they kind of try to shoehorn in about the birth of the rebellion on Ryloth, and you just can't bring yourself to care about a lot of these characters because you've already seen where they end up. It's nothing new, and it does that really horrible Star Wars connectivism where it needs to have the whole universe connected. And I think Filoni likes to do that a lot, and I don't blame him for that, but sometimes it makes me worried because really this series should stand on its own, and it should stand on its own without having to be connected to anything. Maybe there is some grand plan. Maybe Omega ends up in Ahsoka somehow. That'd be crazy. Maybe Omega and Ahsoka intersect at some point. I don't know. It's just right now, the way it's trending, I am somewhat concerned for what comes next with Filoni Star Wars. I don't know how you feel about it.
See, it brings up a good point because, you know, as someone who essentially directed a good amount of my childhood and you know, somebody who's tied with such great projects, you know, it is, I would say I have some bias, you know, say, you know, hey, maybe this was just an error, or this wasn't obviously one of his stronger works, because how hard is it, you know, to hit the nail hit the nail perfectly every single time, right, with every production. But yeah, I don't, it is, I would say that maybe I do have a shred of a doubt for things, but I feel like there's a lot more pressure with the other series compared to Bad Batch. I feel like you can kind of afford to not do that great with Bad Batch. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
Ahsoka and what else is he? What else? Obviously outside of Mando, but isn't he tied with something else?
He's tied with Bad Batch season 2, Ahsoka.
Man. I don't know. I just feel like there's more room for error with Bad Batch, but it is disappointing just knowing that, like you said, you've got a lot of these key pieces that you figure would set yourself up for success, and it's like, where did we get away from the game plan here? What?
Yeah.
We had all the ingredients for like a nice cake, and we ended up with mush. I don't know how this worked. You know, where did we go wrong here? Yeah. And, you know, as somebody who consumes a lot of different media that involves storytelling, you know, with obviously with Star Wars, you know, where we're talking about right now, with Marvel, even WWE, there's a lot of story-driven talent, like storytelling, right? It's disappointing when you've got all the right components, you know, the actors and, you know, the story and this, like, the skeleton is so great, but the person controlling it or the story itself just doesn't fill up the shoes that it's been given. So yeah, I don't, you know, it's I guess sometimes, you know, people in Mr. Filoni's in his 10-gallon hat, they can have their blemish, right? And I'm just hoping that this is that, because I would hope it's not like a trend to keep saying, oh, have we run out of material? Are we just recycling things now? You know?
Yeah, because it does just feel like a bad season of the Clone Wars at the end of the day. Like it kind of, you can kind of watch it and be okay with it. It just wasn't as refreshing of a take, you know, that I would hope for from him. And it was more of the same, and maybe that's what the fans who are more in tuned with the animated series want. But for me personally, it ended up just being a very middling show, and I can't say I'm excited for the next season. You know, I'll watch it. Hopefully I'll review it on this channel. But quite honestly, if it goes by the wayside again, I'll blame the series rather than myself, because then it's a pattern.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I
It
agree with
yeah,
that.
it's just it's it was boring to review. It was boring to talk about, and quite honestly, I just couldn't see myself planning for us to talk about those last two episodes for an hour or an hour and a half. It just wasn't worth it. And then life got really busy. However, the Star Wars universe is also getting very busy. We got a lot of good stuff coming up. Visions, all of Visions came out. We're gonna hit Visions eventually. Talk about, probably do a ranking of the shorts. Hopefully we can get Omarion for that episode. Omarion. And that'd be nice. Get a whole ranking of that. I need to watch them. I haven't watched them yet. I haven't even finished What If. I'm really bad
Wow.
at watching these new things. I'm keeping up with Hawkeye,
Okay, that was what I was gonna ask about next, yeah.
but other than that, I've been really bad. I haven't seen Eternals yet, dude. But yeah, Visions, for Star Wars purposes, I have not finished Visions yet. I haven't
Better
even.
see Spider-Man on time.
Oh, I'm definitely gonna see Spider-Man on time. I got that stuff on lock. But post Visions, we got our first couple looks at the Book of Boba Fett. We got two trailers, and then just recently at the Game Awards, in something of a surprise announcement, a project that I don't think anybody really knew was going on in the weeks prior. I know there was a leak about some IP names a couple days before the Game of Awards actually happened. But as somebody who has his finger on the pulse of Star Wars news pretty directly, I had no idea this was coming. We're, of course, talking about, and maybe you don't know, and I wouldn't be surprised if you don't know, because it did kind of slip under the radar. Star Wars Eclipse, a supposedly narrative single player adventure game coming out, God knows when. But all we really have is an announcement trailer that came out during the Game Awards. It's being developed, and this is kind of where some discourse comes into play. And Chuck, I don't know if you know about this, but it's being developed by Quantum Dreams, which is one of the more controversial gaming studios around right now.
See, now for people like me who are not familiar with that, I need you to expand,
Yeah,
sir.
so before we get into the content of the trailer, I want to make it clear. Quantum Dreams is owned by, or is ran by, David Cage, who is not one would say an amazing fellow. He is hard to explain this in a podcast that isn't necessarily supposed to be about that sort of thing, but he has been accused of multiple different workplace issues, including overworking people, and
Jesus.
has made some intensely misogynistic and intensely homophobic comments. He is the creative lead of this project, as it is a part of the Quantum Dream or Quantic Dreams. I actually did say that right the first time. Is a part of the Quantic Dreams workforce. He's the creative head, like I said before. I just reformatted that sentence like three different times, but it sucks that this guy's involved. I don't like him. He shouldn't be involved in any games. Dude should have been fired a long time ago. Quantic Dreams has been sued multiple times. They use their intense force of lawyers to overturn those lawsuits.
Oh.
Extremely obvious that their allegations against them are real. I mean, I believe the victims more times than not. He has had, crunch time allegations leveraged against him, and crunch time in video games is when you have to put in additional hours of work before a game's launch so you can get it out on time. And that, I think, mostly happened with the launch of Detroit Become Human, which is one of their games.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's the studio that's doing this. They make, and I hate to say it, and I don't really want to say it, but it's kind of true. They make games I enjoy. I've liked most of the things they've released. But Jesus, they're not a great place. They just have a very toxic work environment. But to preface all that, we should talk about the qual or the content of the trailer itself. There's some cool stuff in there. It is totally different than anything I have ever seen from Star Wars. It's very dark. It's very earthy, I'd say that there's a lot of stuff there that you wouldn't expect from Star Wars. I think, yeah, it's really just the tone. It hits you from a different way than any other Star Wars trailer has really hit before. I'd say it's very comparative to the Old Republic online video game trailers. There's like little mini cinematic movies that they used to release to hype up the MMORPG. So much so that I thought this was a trailer for the final DLC of the game, because I was like, wow, they really put a lot into this one. I bet it's the final DLC. And then it was like, oh, Star Wars Eclipse. And I was like, what? But yeah, I mean, just a superb trailer. There was some really weird stuff in there, but I wanted to hear your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you said it, and I think it hits the nail on the head. With how we're going, and even what we just talked about with Bad Batch, right? Star Wars, I feel like, for the most part, in our era, right, has been the victim of just rehashed. I almost said a bad word. Rehashed material, right? And that's not a good thing. I think people get tired of seeing the same stuff, right? Unless it's somehow you make it more entertaining slightly with what you're using. And this is completely, to use a sports diatribe, this is out of left field. This is like, if you like wiped my memory of anything Star Wars, right? And I watched this, I would have been convinced this was just some indie movie. That was really dark. It's very unique that we see some of this dark information. Then obviously there have like the Jedi aspects of it. We get like 2 seconds of a Yoda Yaddle like figure standing in the council room.
I would imagine it's Yoda.
It has to be. But it's very different. And then there's obviously the well, obviously you have to watch it to understand what I'm gonna say here. The people that are banging on drums
The drummers.
is a very prominent thing, and I'm wondering what that's about. The eclipse is obviously the eclipse itself is something that's shown prominently as well. It's very interesting. And the only information that we get outside of the visual aspect is that it's in its early development. So there's nothing else. No brief summary, no release date. Just, hey, we're working on this, by the way. Here's a trailer,
Oh,
But I think it's good. I think it's good to just get away from just what we've seen. To be honest, I think people have been tired of the Skywalker, the Skywalker saga. I think that's kind of, it's like, okay, we've got that. That's cool and all. You know, the ending was kind of messed up, but give me something different, right?
We can move on from the ending if we have some refreshing new takes on the series.
Yeah, so let's. I think this should be exciting. And I'm intrigued because, you know, I also, because we are getting a, shoot, what was it called? What was the game with Cal Kestis?
Fallen.
I forgot the name.
Fallen Order.
Yeah, because I know we're getting a sequel, right?
Yep.
So that'll be nice and all, just because it was decently refreshing. But I know to an extent that too as well was a little bit, there was a little bit of a repetitive cycle in it to an extent. So I feel like this should be something completely new, and it'll be interesting to see what that will be. But yeah, obviously, you know, with the studio that it's being produced by, it puts some hindrance on it, you know.
Yeah, what's interesting is the trailer really does give us nothing. It's exciting because it's so tonally different, but it doesn't give us anything about a storyline, really. Nope. You can put, if you're a real English major like me, you can put some of the symbolism together and kind of, actually, if you just watch it more than once, quite honestly, you can put together there's some sort of ritual going around with the eclipse and they summon some weird goop man.
Goop man. Oh, it's Dune.
Yeah, a little Harkonnen-y. I hope it's not Stellan Skarsgård in there again. But it's cool. It makes me excited. It got me excited. When I saw the developer, my excitement kind of got knocked down a few pegs. But really interesting stuff coming from that trailer. I think for me, I am so enthralled in who those aliens are. The drumming men.
Where they're from, what their story is.
Exactly.
What gripe they might have.
I feel like they could be Yuuzhan Vong, which would be
Alex. Help me out here.
Second. But it could be the Grissix, which is another kind of deep cut thing that has just been introduced. Or the Grisks, they're called. I'm just looking up now to see if anybody has floated if they're the Grisk. But we got some okay. So there are these new aliens we've seen, and we have seen these weird, I don't know how to explain them. I'm looking at a picture of one. There are these aliens without noses.
Mm-hmm. Like they Voldemort. Have
feline-like faces. Their eyes are black, just deep black, and they have ridges on their head. Okay, so let me talk about briefly the Yuuzhan Vong, and then I'll talk about the Grisks. The Yuuzhan Vong are a non-canonical race from a universe, from a galaxy that
are far away.
Wiped out, yes, from a galaxy kind of far, far away, that was wiped out by a radioactive burst, and basically they escaped that and came to colonize the galaxy that the Jedi live in, put simply. They're entirely like this scary race. They come in and start to invade the galaxy, and they almost destroy the New Republic. Luke, I think, leads the Jedi that stop them from destroying and taking over the galaxy. They were, I think they were religious zealots, but they didn't use tech. They were only organic.
Oh.
And they also couldn't be sensitive. They were like force repellent. They couldn't be seen through the force. You couldn't understand them through the force. Like everything about them was impossible to sense through the Force. So they're like a counterplay to the Jedi, basically. They came in and were just completely demolished the Jedi for quite some time. They also have like castes. It's a very deep lore that I probably didn't super explain correctly. I actually don't know. They might have been killed by droids. I don't know if that radioactive thing hurt them. I think they might have been killed by droids. Anyways, if you guys know better than me, you know better than me. If you don't know better than me, don't take everything I say for gospel. This is me kind of just bumbling through what I remember and what I can get from Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. And then there's the Grisk, which were introduced as kind of a counterpart to the Yuuzhan Vong to make them kind of canonical. And those were introduced in the Thrawn books. I'm not even going to try because those are a little too new for me to know anything about. But these weird gray men might be them. Who knows? More likely, they're a species created for the game. But boy, are they already kind of threatening, huh? With their
Kind
drone.
of feel like they have a pretty decent role, right? I would have to think so.
Yeah, I really wonder what the goopy man is, you know?
Have to feel like with the with their impact in the trailer and how they're kind of like almost centered, I wouldn't say like completely, right? They have to feel like they're like foreboding. It's like, oh, this banging the drum has to be symbolic.
Yeah, very
Right.
warlike.
And then like he the not he the character that's in the beginning that's kind of centered off on the screen turns around and kind of scary with the non-nosy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the goopy man, as Bennett said, I have to feel like they play a pretty major role, but what that is, obviously, I feel like with what we know, with our knowledge on them, we don't know that much. So that is still a story to be told.
And other characters we got one-eyed Duros. We got two Jedi. We got two other Jedi. We got Yoda, question mark. We got sunglasses droid, and red hair woman.
Sunglasses droid.
So look out for those really great characters in Star Wars Eclipse coming up soon. Probably not actually, probably coming out in the next 5 years. Hopefully. Sheesh. Speaking of things that have been rumored to come out forever and are just now getting announced, Book of Boba is, real. That's been rumored forever, a Boba Fett TV show, and we finally got one. It was, of course, announced way back when The Mandalorian Season 2 ended. And then we got ourselves a release date. December 29th is when the first episode drops. I believe we only have 7 episodes, which is a little odd, considering 8 is the benchmark for Disney Plus series. So I'd expect that means that the Book of Boba just has slightly longer episodes. Just like Hawkeye, how it has a little longer episodes than something like Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Because I think Kevin Feige said something about that. He was like, they need to have at least this many hours of content. And
Oh.
I think that applies to the Marvel or to the Star Wars stuff too. So Book of Boba, the trailers have done a pretty good job of not really giving us what the show's about, which makes me excited but also kind of nervous, because I so far think that the main bad guys are gonna be, and if you guys watch the trailers, I won't go too into detail, but for those of you who haven't, it's basically just Boba Fett talking about how he's back and people kind of reacting to the fact that he's back, and then him fighting these red dressed guards. And I really hope the main villain aren't just these random red dressed guards, unless they can make them really compelling. I want it to be a new and original villain, because I think Boba deserves that. But I hope it's not just like some governing force, because that would be kind of boring in my opinion. The show promises to have some good action. I don't know, from the trailers it looks like it has good action. If you haven't watched the trailers and you're worried about spoilers, go watch them. There's really not that much there. Yeah, there's no big spoilers about characters appearing or anything like that. We know Boba's in it. We know Fennec's in it. That's about it, quite honestly. We know they're on Tatooine. There you go. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on this one?
On the trailer as a whole?
On the trailer as a whole and, like, just about the series in general.
Yeah, well, I like what you said about the non-governing force thing. I feel like that's such a thing that in these nerd things we deal with, it's such kind of overplayed by now.
Especially for a Bounty Hunter story.
Yeah, and it's... Well, it's really interesting. He's like, I'm going to rule with respect. And, oh, yeah, what was it? I was told you're a bounty hunter. And he's like, no. It's like, oh, kind of interesting to see where that direction's going. Because I thought we got a synopsis and it was like, it's going to talk about what Boba Fett was up to, you know, since we last met him, you know. Doesn't seem like that unless we get like a throwback episode that goes through that, right?
Right.
I couldn't really pick up on much. I know that, you know, there's like brief scenes walking around and like talking. It doesn't really give like too much, it feels like. I feel like a lot of the stuff that we saw is going to be like in the first episode.
Yeah.
Where they're talking to like the, you know, Jabba's, you know, little council friends. Oh, you know, the last line of one of the trailers was cool. She goes, speak freely. What was it? Someone talked shit about Boba. Oh, well, there it goes. Someone talked about Boba. And he was like, oh, you wouldn't, if you had said that under Jabba, you would have been fed to one of his, you know. Then Boba goes, oh, no, go ahead, speak freely. And it's like, oh, okay. I wouldn't talk bad about Boba Fett anyways. I don't care, you know, if my boss or whatever got slain, that's Boba Fett. If I know who Boba Fett is, I'm not acting stupid. You know, but no, I don't. It's interesting. I don't really have much to go off, but you know, anything with Tamir Morrison, and with Ming Na Wen, should I feel like it's going to be a good production. It'll just, again, to go back to it, who is the big bad of this series will be what to watch, because again, ruling figures or governing forces, you know, not don't need it anymore.
Yeah, it's an annoying trope. I hope we can get away from it in Star Wars. And I get it, because Star Wars has this protest moments, but they don't really do it that well. So
people saying Star Wars isn't political, Bennett.
I know, but it is. But sometimes they really fall on their faces.
Yeah.
They kind of had something going with the Bad Batch, I won't lie to you. They had some cool stuff going on with showing how bad the Empire was. But then they were like, they were just like bounty hunters.
Bounty hunters.
Okay, I guess. And I sound hypocritical because the entire series of Mandalorian is about bounty hunters, and I don't shit on that series.
But they're cooler bounty hunters.
They're a lot cooler. Also, Fennec Shand is way cooler in those shows than she is in that one or two episodes of The Bad Batch.
It really doesn't do much. It's like, oh yeah, I'm an evil bounty hunter. I'm gonna swindle you away. It's like, oh, okay. Really?
I'm excited for Boba because I feel like there's a hidden character reveal in there somewhere.
Oh, gotta be.
We still don't know who saved him from the Zarlak pit. And mm-hmm. I think it would, by him being in that Bacta tank, I think it's pretty heavily implied that someone saved him or aided him after his escape. So we'll see. Maybe it's one of the OG bounty hunters. I don't really know who Boba's friends with canonically anymore. He doesn't really seem like he has a lot of friends.
You know, I did hear a name swirled around, and obviously don't take this for gospel, but I heard we might be getting Lizard Boy.
Bossk, yeah, I've heard Bossk, and I've heard Dengar.
I wouldn't be, I don't know, I was never much of a Dengar fan.
Yeah, Dengar kind of sucks.
Dengar sucks. Slander is allowed on this show. Yeah,
this is a Dengar hate podcast. I really don't care for him. I think he's boring. I think he's the blandest bounty hunter because he's just Australian. That's his thing. He's like, I'm over here in the bush hunting Han Solo.
like in the whenever I would play what's it called?
Battlefront,
yeah. I wasn't really a fan of Bossk. I was like, oh, you're kind of annoying. But yeah, I would take Bossk over freaking Dengar.
He was like fun in Rebels. And yeah, that's all I really got for him.
The way you described him just makes it even worse. And it's like, oh yeah, he's Australian. I'm like, oh,
okay. I think that's it. That's it. He's just
boring. Supposed to be excited for Australia. I'm like, whoa, ooh, well,
I mean, if he shows up and he's cool, I'll eat my words gladly. Gladly. Yeah, if
they do the character, you know, some good, do some justice. Sure, fine, redeem it. But you know, that has to happen first for me to really feel that way.
I think my biggest hot take is that the show is going to feature Din Djarin more than we think it is, because the show is supposed to be considered Mandalorian like 2.5.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I have a sturdy feeling that our good friend Din is going to show up for like the last three episodes and be a major character. I'm really interested to see where the show goes, though, because we just don't know anything about it, quite honestly. We just know the very, very basic plot. It's just him trying to reestablish himself as crime lord of Tatooine. Why he cares so much about Tatooine, I hope they explain. I know it's just like the seat of the Hutt cartel, and maybe that's his end game, is to take over the entire cartel. But as of right now, there's a lot of questions, and the trailers aren't giving us too many answers, and I can appreciate that. Any last thoughts on the Book of Boba?
Well, I'm more excited for it than Bad Batch.
Yeah. Yeah. If I had to rank what I make, we'll do that. Let's do that right now. We do this every once in a while. What properties are we most excited for? Top three.
Ooh. Hold on, you gotta help me here, because I'm forgetting about. I know two properties off the top of my head.
Well, I know my number three is Ahsoka.
Oh yes,
I'll give you my top three real quick. Number three is Ahsoka. Number two is Book of Boba. Number one is Obi-Wan.
Oh yes, okay. Dang, no Mando in there.
Mando falls just out of the top three. I think it's my number four.
I see it. Yeah, I'd put Mando. I think I'd be the same, except I'd swap Mando and Ahsoka.
Okay.
I think Obi-Wan is the clear and decisive one for a lot of people. And I mean, have we had any updates on that? A while ago, back when we were doing this, when Bad Batch was doing its thing, we had some like set pictures where they were like, it was just like Obi-Wan smiling, Obi-Wan, like not using their names. And Hayden Christensen, you know, I know that Ewan McGregor has just said that his favorite, it was really cute. He was like, oh yeah, my favorite thing about this is getting Hayden back. I was like, oh, so sweet, so cute. But I don't think I've seen anything update-wise on that.
Oh, we got the concept art pictures, which just kind of like confirmed that they were doing a fight.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, and it confirmed there was an Inquisitor involved. Which I think
live action Inquisitor
question, which is gonna be freaking sick. That's the first time we've seen one live action. Yeah, small update on Obi-Wan. I guess we got some concept pictures, and they had Darth Vader pretty prominently featured in them. And I think this show is gonna be equally amount as Darth Vader as it is about Obi-Wan, which kind of sucks. I'd love to see just Obi-Wan around, but you know what? You can't tell his story without telling Vader's story. And vice versa, so I'm okay with it. Yeah, I'm really excited for that show. Holy moly. The cast looks amazing. They also get some props for, like, it's a very diverse cast, surprisingly. Not surprisingly, just because Star Wars has not been the best when it comes to having very diverse casts. I suppose with the TV shows, they've been pretty swell.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the other thing that's weird about Book of Boba. We don't have a cast list.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because we had a cast list for Obi-Wan already. We know who's in the show. We just don't know what they're up to.
Because not?
Yeah, we don't.
I like how I look up Book of Boba Fett cast.
It's like Ming-Na Wen.
Tamir Morrison, Ming-Na Wen, and George Lucas.
I don't think he's in it.
No, I think Google is like, fuck it. Put him in there.
I mean, like, Obi-Wan, we already know, like...
We have a composer. It's Ludwig... I don't know how to say his last name.
We got Kumail Nanjiani in Obi-Wan. We got Indira Varma. We got Rupert Friend. We have such a huge cast.
I'm sorry. His name's Rupert Friend?
If I'm not saying it wrong. And I think Sun Kang said he used a lightsaber, so I'm guessing he's the Inquisitor.
Yeah. I feel like that's a giveaway.
Yeah, he kind of screwed that one up. But
put him in timeout for that. Can't be giving away secrets, buddy. But yeah, we'll like see. The only four people that are like confirmed to be at least involved is like executive producers Favreau and Filoni, and then there's the two cast members in Morrison and Ming-Na Wen.
Yeah, and I think we could pretty safely put at least a cameo from Pascal on there.
Has to be.
But other than that, who knows? Yeah, it's been a weird couple months for Star Wars because outside of Visions, all we've been getting is news, and it's nice because usually that's a segment of the show that doesn't exist because they're very sparse with their news. In other news, I guess Rogue Squadron was canceled and then uncanceled in the span of like 3 weeks, which was weird. Like Patty Jenkins signed off and then signed back on, so that was strange. I think it was because of a scheduling conflict, but
oh.
That happened really quickly to the point where it was not even noteworthy, in my opinion. Rangers of the Republic is apparently getting absorbed into Mandalorian Season 3. So I don't know what that means, but hopefully it means more Paulson Young Lee, because I love him. And maybe Gina Carano is coming back, I've heard.
What?
I don't know how I feel about that at all, because boy did she really lean into the blaming cancel culture thing, and that is so unreasonable for somebody of her celebrity position.
Hold on, keep going. Wait, no, hold on. I know it's not Star Wars, but and since we're talking about that,
are we talking about the Black Panther controversy
about Letitia Wright?
Oh boy.
Yeah, I saw that. I was on Twitter the other day, and I was like, what are they talking about Shuri for? I was like, oh.
Yeah, it really makes you wonder if they shut down production because she hurt her back.
What?
Yeah, you didn't know that? They shut down production for 3 months because she had a back injury.
What the
So what? It kind of makes you wonder if she's... if that was real or if that was just a rumor that came out because she... stop production for other reasons. Like, I know she got hurt, and it made me feel really bad because getting her on movie set is always pretty catastrophic because that means there's like a breach of contract or something bad went wrong on set. So I felt really bad for about that. But when production stopped, I couldn't help but wonder if...
I like how the timeline says taking a stand against COVID-19 vaccines and then sustaining an injury. Oh.
Yeah, it's a little questionable, but you know what? Both can be true. I'm not calling her a liar. Yeah,
that's true.
She just doesn't understand science, and that's okay.
Yeah, so
actually, no, because she understands science. She's just refusing to believe in it, and that's what frustrates me.
The ending has been changed, though. Oof.
That's what I've heard. I've heard she's out after this movie, and someone else will have to take
up
the mantle. Who's going to take up the mantle? Who fucking knows at this point?
Jesus. No, well, hold on.
If they could somehow bring back Michael Jordan's character, M'Baku would be fucking nasty.
M'Baku's supremacy.
But anyways, that's enough about Marvel and our Star Wars podcast.
Yes, sorry. But I was just like, damn, really? You had to screw that up, you know?
But yeah, the whole Gina Carano situation, I don't want to touch it until it's confirmed she's coming back, because I don't like talking about it. Because it pisses me off, and this, at the end of the day, shouldn't be a podcast about political leanings. It's not necessarily politics. She said something really off base, and she faced the consequences for a while. if she got put in timeout for what Disney thinks is enough time, then maybe she can come back. I don't really care. The character could be dead and I wouldn't really flinch, quite honestly. And Gina Carano can go on with her life doing her other things for the Daily, whatever that channel's called.
Is a channel?
News network. I don't want to call it that because that feels like I'm giving them too much credit. Ben Shapiro's gig.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
So, hypothetically speaking, this podcast is just about done. thank you guys. If you tune back in, that's great. We took such a long break that our last episode ended up getting a weird amount of views. So that kind of spurred me on.
Hey, where'd these guys go?
Kind of spurred me on to do another episode. And also that Eclipse trailer was just so crazy and out of nowhere. So yeah, stay tuned. We'll probably be back in 2 weeks to do, I don't know, probably not the Visions thing quite yet, but to talk a little bit about the Book of Boba before it comes out. I don't know what else there is to talk about that. But we'll probably talk a little bit about Mandalorian and things like that too, just because we have some stuff to catch up on since we've been gone for a minute. I don't know. I was going to originally make an excuse about why we were so busy and why we missed so many episodes, but I think it's just good to be back. So we'll end on that good note. Chuck, give us a sweet, sweet outro, please.
I don't do these kind of things. Well, you know, Bennett has been busy in his productions. I have been busy in mine. With that being said, they're obviously, you know, it's still not a bad time to be involved in the Star Wars universe. So we have, I feel like, our mix of shows. I feel like movies are kind of on hold for a bit, and that's okay. I feel like with the way that the trilogy went, it's okay to get away from movies for a bit. So with that being said, until we see you again, of course, obviously we'd ideally hope for that to be before 5 months, right, Bennett? We will see you on the next episode. Until then, be safe, take care, and don't say anything you're going to regret that may impact your role in a new TV show in a few months. Bing bong.
Bing bong. Thanks for listening.